All right, welcome to another Money Matters Monday segment. So originally I was going to talk about personal taxes, but then I realized, oh, I haven't really talked about small business taxes in a while. So I really want to do that because there's also a few changes with small business owners that y'all need to be aware about. Like, for example, there is the Corporate Transparency Act, and it's just basically an anti-money laundering act from Congress, and they want to know who is over these businesses. And so this problem comes from, like, people who lied and got the PPP, or there are just sham companies that people are operating that are really just, you know, money laundering up front. So starting January the 1st, 2024, you will be required to file that information. If you don't, you will be heavily fined. So it's just best to go ahead and fill out that form when it does come. All right. So this is tax planning and reporting for a small business. And we're going to just go ahead and do this, because I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet, you know, like these end up being too long. All right, so we already know that small businesses and their owners report taxes throughout the year. And to know how and when to pay your taxes, you need to know about the different tax retirements, also tax requirements, sorry, business accounting, and your tax payment and return preparations. Right? So your income tax is based on net profit, and this essentially is determined by subtracting your business expenses from its income. It's pretty simple. And business expenses are those that are ordinary and necessary to operate or run the business. So when we say necessary and ordinary, think about a website, or if you like website advertising, if you have to travel, like start thinking about those things. And then we know that you can write off majority of these expenses as long as you have receipts and they are ordinary and necessary. So sole proprietorships, partnerships, LLCs or limited liability companies, S corporations, they show their net profit on the owner's personal income tax forms, while C corporations pay corporate income tax. Most states also charge income tax, as do many cities and counties. There's very few states that do not have, like, state income tax. All right, so self-employment tax. So you may pay this. This is also known as Social Security and Medicare taxes if you're self-employed. The self-employment tax is currently 15.3%. Medicare accounts for 2.9%. And Social Security accounts for the other 12.4%. And you must pay self-employment tax if your earnings from self-employment are $400 or more. And I think it has risen to $600 now, but we'll see. But overall, if you are an entrepreneur, you're bringing in income, you're going to want to pay that self-employment tax. All right, so then we have employment taxes. So there are several employment taxes. Some are paid by the employer, some are paid by the employee, and then some are shared. So employers withhold your federal and state income tax for employees' wages. And employers withhold part of Social Security and Medicare, which is FICA taxes, from the employees' wages, and they pay a matching amount. So employers generally pay federal and state unemployment insurance, which is FUTA, F-U-T-A tax. And you report it and pay it separately from different taxes. And employers also pay into, like, your state disability programs. And if you are a manufacturer and you sell certain products, operate certain kinds of businesses, or use certain kinds of equipment, for example, indoor tanning services, like, you'll pay an excise tax. And also, businesses that operate heavy vehicles, such as trucks on the highways, pay that too. And then we have sales tax. So in about 45 states, retail sellers are required to collect sales tax from customers. You know this. Anywhere you go, you got to pay tax on something, right? And then lastly, local taxes. Like, that just depends on your particular situation and location. You may be responsible for real estate and personal property taxes. So most cities and counties also require businesses to acquire licenses and permits, and some jurisdictions even charge on year-end inventory. So that's why it's especially important you contact your state, county, city agencies to find your local requirements, because the last thing you want to do is be out of compliance and then they're coming for you saying, "Hey, you haven't paid all your taxes." All right, so we have different types of income tax, federal income tax, depending on how our business is registered. So the government recognizes five organizational types of businesses, and each has its own tax form. So you have the sole proprietorship. This is the most basic. You're not an LLC. This is like you just run a t-shirt business out of your home. You're a sole proprietor, and you just list your income and expenses on your regular 1040, which is your standard tax form, and then you go from there. Like, the only problem with being a sole proprietor is that it offers no protection. So, like, if someone was coming to sue you, they could come after your personal assets. Then we have a partnership, and a partnership uses a form 1065. And a partnership is like, think about each two or more people, they agree to go into business together, be like, "Oh yeah, we're partners." Each partner includes his or her share of the partnership's income or loss on his or her own tax return. And they get a K-1. It's just basically saying, "Hey, this much is distributed to this partner, this much is distributed to the other partner." Then we have the S-Corp. So S-Corp can, it's a little special because they can, you can choose how you're kind of taxed with an S-Corp. So they elect to pass corporate income, losses, deductions, and credit through to their shareholders for federal tax purposes. The shareholders of the S-Corp are issued a K-1 showing the income that the shareholders received through the corporation, and the shareholders of the S-Corporations report the flow through of income and losses on their personal tax returns. So then you have the corporations. Now, corporations have a special form, and it's 1120S. They are taxed as a separate entity under the tax laws. So it's kind of like they're being double taxed because after the corporate income tax is paid on the business income, any distributions made to stockholders are taxed again at the stockholders' tax rates as dividends. So that's what I mean, like it's kind of double taxed. And then you got the LLC. So the government really doesn't recognize LLC as a classification for federal tax purposes. It must just file, either most people who have an LLC, they just file a Schedule C and list their business income, business expenses, and attach it to their 1040. Okay, we're not doing discussions tonight. All right, so this is for employment taxes if you hire others. So this is an area where a lot of people get into like trouble when it comes to taxes, especially when they hire other people. So these taxes include taxes employers are required to withhold for their employees' wages and taxes the employer pays. So you need to manage payroll accurately to compute and collect the appropriate taxes. Then you must pay those taxes to the appropriate agencies on a monthly, quarterly, or annual basis. So employment taxes vary depending on the type of business, location, and other factors, right? So you're going to start registering as new employer with the IRS and your state employment department, right? So you are probably going to rely on these common forms, the FUTA, FUTA, the Employer's Annual Federal Unemployment Tax Return. That's a Form 940. So you provide that form to the federal government to report the amount of federal unemployment tax that the business must pay for employees. Then you have the employer's quarterly federal tax return, which is a Form 941, and this is used by employers to report employment taxes, withholding amounts, deposit amounts, and amounts due to the IRS. And this includes totals for things such as your number of employees, your total pay for the quarter, your amount withheld from the employee's wages, taxable wages for the period. And this form also requires a calculation of the total taxes and the total deposits made during the period. And the difference between the total taxes due and the total deposits is the amount still owed that must be paid. So if you have employees, you're going to want them to fill out a W-4. And this isn't, and everyone should know what a W-4 is. Whenever you get hired, you have to fill out this form. It just tells the employer the correct amount of tax to withhold from your employee's check. So here's the thing for people with your personal taxes. If you typically owe at the end of the year, you did not have enough withheld from your paycheck. So two things you can do. You can either A, withhold more from your paycheck. Most people are going to be like, no, I barely make enough now. I'm not going to do that. Okay, well, either you need to, you're going to pay it now or you're going to pay it later. So you have to pick your poison. Like either you're going to take out a little bit more of each check so then at the, when it comes tax season, you're not owing and you can get a small refund or you can, let's see, or you can send in quarterly payments to the IRS would be another alternative. You know, that may be more doable for people who don't want less take-home pay coming out of their paycheck. And then also, you can just look at overall tax planning to see why do you owe. If it's just a withholding issue, then just fix the withholding. Like, you're, I'm trying to say is like, again, you're going to either pay it now or you're going to pay it later. So pick the poison. Next, you have the W-2, and that is just the form that you send to your employees and the IRS every year. It reports the employees' wages and the amount of taxes withheld. And then you have this nice little 1099 miscellaneous income. So if you pay anyone more than $600 during the year for anything, like let's say you hired someone temporarily to build your website, you paid them $800. You have to file and give them a form 1099 miscellaneous outlining how much you paid to that person. And you have to use their taxpayer identification number, which is usually their Social Security number. And you can also use a form W-9 to request for the taxpayer identification number and certification to obtain their TIN. All right, so in addition to business taxes required by the federal government, you will have to pay state and local taxes. I know it's taxes galore out here. So each state and local area has its own tax laws. So you have to contact your state, county, and city government agency to find out all about these taxes, permits, and licenses required. Like, it falls, the ball is in your court, unfortunately. So with state income tax, most states collect state income taxes for individuals and businesses. There's very few states that do not have state income tax. Sometimes local jurisdictions require special permits depending on the type and location of your business. Have you ever seen the people like set up in certain areas of the city and then the police will come through and shut them down because you don't have a permit? Yeah, then licenses. Sometimes jurisdictions require businesses to obtain business licenses. We also have fictitious name permit, which is a doing business as. This is just, let's say, if you just didn't want to have the business in your personal name, you can just identify your business as a DBA, and the way the community knows you're running a business up under, like, an assumed name. And then state sales tax. So that's if you sell retail products. Most states require you to collect sales tax from your customers for the state. And sales tax is governed by state law, so you have to check with your state agency to obtain a seller's permit. And that's also called a resale license, and they're going to tell you, like, how to collect and pay sales taxes, because believe me, you do not want them knocking on your door. So make sure you know your tax obligations. So your form as a business determines how you pay your income taxes. So, as I mentioned earlier, there are quarterly estimated payments. I mentioned people who usually owe taxes every year. I would say paying quarterly estimated taxes will probably be the easiest, especially if you're not wanting extra money coming out of your paycheck. Oh, and I also forgot to mention, you can also defer income into a retirement plan because that's pre-tax income. So to the when it comes to file taxes, what you actually made is going to be less because pre-tax you have money going into a retirement account, and that's going to also help because it's like if you make too much money and you're not withholding, something to think about. Okay, so with the quarterly estimated payments, your payments are due by April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, and January 15th. And most states require quarterly estimated payments as well on the same timeline. And so the calculation of your taxes will depend on your tax year, also called your fiscal year, because a lot of businesses don't actually go from January to December. Some go from February 1st to the end. So, I mean, it really just depends. But to keep those dates in mind, April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, and January 15th, that is when you would want to send your quarterly payments in for business and personal. So, what's the cost of not paying your taxes? Obviously, jail, but outside of that, taxes are generally due monthly or quarterly. We stay with quarterly. Some new business owners make the mistake of spending tax money on business operations. So, when taxes come due, these owners are short of funds. And so, you need to have money banked up when it's time to pay taxes, or you could face significant penalties. So, you will need to create a plan to set aside money to pay taxes. A good rule of thumb is take 20% and put it into a separate account for taxes. So when it comes to money management for taxes, you find out what taxes you will owe, when they're due, and estimate how much. And there's several types of taxes that you can be responsible for, like income, sales, employer taxes, and each are filled with different agencies at different times. It's a lot. And this is why a lot of people have bookkeepers or they outsource. So for income taxes, you will need to set aside a percent of your net profit to pay quarterly tax estimates. I said about 20%. But if you're a retailer, you need to set aside the sales tax you collect on each sale so you can pay it to the state sales tax agency. For employer and employment taxes, you will need to set aside your portion of Social Security taxes and the taxes you have withheld from your employee's paycheck. And you can use separate bank accounts for all of these, or you can use like business accounting software to keep track of the funds so you know how much is available for operations and what is off limits, because this is the reserve you need to pay your taxes. Okay, so the same with personal taxes. Businesses, you want to reduce your taxable profits. And you can deduct a lot of business expenses. Like the tax code was literally written for entrepreneurs. There's like 52 pages that tell the average working American this is what you have to do for your taxes, and like all the other thousands of pages about this is how you can avoid paying taxes as an entrepreneur. So you have different things such as rent, utilities, inventory, advertising, website development, just to name a few. And to be deductible, again, a business expense must be ordinary and necessary. Ordinary expense is one that is common and accepted in your field of business, trade, or profession, and a necessary expense is one that is helpful and appropriate for your business, trade, or profession. So an expense does not have to be indispensable to be considered necessary. All right, so you want to check with your IRS or accountant to learn what you can and cannot deduct from your sales to determine what is your taxable net profit. And you're going to want to keep receipts of everything. This is why you should have a good bookkeeper or bookkeeping system that tracks everything. You do not want to wait till March and March of next year, and you're like, oh yeah, I need to look at all my transactions from last year. More than likely, you're going to miss something. And there's two basic types of accounting methods also. There's cash and accrual that affect your calculations. And they only differ in the timing of when transactions are processed by your system. So cash method is, that's the most common one. It's like under the cash method, income is not counted until cash or a check is actually received. And expenses are not counted until they are actually paid. But in the accrual method, income is counted when the sale occurs and expenses are counted when you receive the goods or services. You don't have to wait until you see the money or actually pay money out of your checking account to record a transaction. I would say for ease of access, unless you have like actual literal inventory, I would go with the cash method. If you have actual inventory, I would go with accrual. All right, so using an accountant, you can either do it yourself or you can go through the Small Business Administration website or a tax advisor, and you can find an accountant or an enrolled agent. You don't have to have an accountant to manage your finances or pay your taxes. A lot of people do it themselves. But if you have a pretty complex situation, I beg you to please have someone review your return, because the last thing you want to do is send off a tax return that the IRS deems fraudulent, and they're slapping you with a $5,000 flat fee fine, and then interest and penalties on top of that. So some small businesses make do with just a bookkeeper, and that's just someone to perform the task of recording financial information, creating the financial statements, and filing taxes. Like most businesses can get by on that. It's only when your business is growing, you're hiring X amount of employees, then yeah, you may want to get a professional in on that. All right, so services business accountants offer, they offer a lot. They can offer personal finance advice, business consulting, like providing insight and examples, information to help you grow your business. Obviously, accounting services, they can do tax preparation. Organizational advice is really big, because how you set up your business in the beginning, whether it's an LLC, S corp, that really impacts your taxes down the road. And then, of course, financing advice. Like most people do not have the $10,000 to grow their business from scratch. You can look into talking to the SBA and then them helping you get a loan, or what type of financing is appropriate for you, what you can afford, and what documentation that you'll actually need, because you can't just walk up and get a business loan. They have a little bit more stringent requirements. All right, so a few things to remember. Again, I wanted to keep this short because my videos always end up going over 30 minutes. So number one, always get qualified advice. All advice is not good. End of that. Number two, learn your business tax liability. And that's, remember, that's your income and income, your employment, self-employment, sales, state, local. Number three, set money aside to cover your taxes and avoid commingling funds. The thing about commingling funds is that, let's say, for example, you have an LLC and someone tries to come after the LLC, right? But here you are commingling funds between yourself and the business. Now that person can attack you because you haven't really kept the business separate from yourself. Number four, have a good accounting system in place to track your income and expenses. Always keep receipts, always, because in case of audit, you want to come correct and proper. And number five, you can always get an accountant to help you manage your business if you really need it. Good small business accountants do more than just record transactions and prepare reports. They actually analyze and they interpret that information to help you like run your business, and they're good advisors for like new business ideas down the line. So look for one that has like a good track record, right? And then, or you can ask like other successful business owners like who they've used before. All right, So that is everything that I had. We talked about managing your tax obligations, common tax businesses, pay, income, self-employment, sales, employment, and local taxes. If you have any other questions, please feel free to shoot me a message. Next month is September, and I am going to be talking about changes with the FAFSA for upcoming seniors, juniors, and seniors. They got rid of the EFC, and they're replacing it with a new FAI calculation. So it's going to be interesting to see how does this affect majority of the low to mid-income people who actually apply for financial aid. But again, that's all I had for you tonight. And any questions, concerns, please feel free to reach out. Bye-bye.